Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second of our RVs. As we mentioned the last time we did this, an RV is a rendezvous where disparate force elements marry up to consolidate and crack on with the mission. And our version of the RV is consolidating on some listener questions. Tim, we've had a few over the last couple of weeks.
We've had quite a few, and thanks very much for those that have emailed us at debrief@unforgiving60.com. We've been asking our guests how they define success and happiness, and we had that one come back to us, Ben. So how do Ben and Tim define success?
I define success, and without getting too zen, philosophical about this, but there are two things for me. The first one is working out how you define success. So actually sitting down and thinking about what's important to you. I personally found that once I left the military, I took a bit of time to do that as I was embarking on my next career, and found that I think subconsciously I was drawn along by that next promotion, that next pay rise, without actually thinking whether that was success. And having a bit of a reflection on that and working out what was actually important was really critical in changing the way I viewed the next stage of my life. The second part of success for me, I refer back to my favourite Lululemon bag, living in the moment. I am really trying to become a lot more present and just enjoy the ride, enjoy the time that you've got with people, rather than always be thinking about that next task. What about yourself?
It's a really tough question, one that I've been dwelling on. I think that it's definitely, success is definitely interwoven with happiness. Once upon a time, I interviewed to be the CEO of one of the largest companies in the world. And on reflection, the best thing I never did was that job. I think my definition of success breaks down into a few layers. The first thing you must get right is geography. You've got to be in the right location, the place that you want to live. And having been an expat for 10 years living in the Middle East, I get that bit. And finally, to be, quote, home, unquote, is really powerful. The second thing, I think, is to get some level of professional fulfillment. The third thing is to look after yourself, to be a little bit selfish. And of course, the last, but certainly not least, is to make sure that family is integrated into that. And in terms of the success and happiness fabric, I think you can't dissociate success and happiness from your friends, your family, and your colleagues. You know, you all do present on that same roadmap.
The human aspect. Yeah. Great question, though. Next one we've got is apparently the only moral question that matters. And that is,
I was going to say, Tim Robertson, Robbo, the chronic overachiever, he is the gift that keeps on giving. He just never, ever stops. And he's been constantly challenging us philosophically for years. And sorry to interrupt you.
No, but Robbo's question, and as I said before, the only question is the virtue of an act judged by intent or outcome? Tim, intent or outcome?
I'd like you to answer this first.
Go.
I actually think that if you think it but don't do it, that's okay. So, outcome.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there. I think it's all about intent. I think if we're coming from a good place, then, you know, circumstances may conspire to mean that our acts end up with a poor outcome. But in the long run, it is all about the intent of your actions, that you are coming from a good place rather than what ends up happening by accident.
So let's look at this in a different way. If your intentions were good but the outcome was negative, you would judge unfavourably. But if your intentions were dishonourable but the outcome was good, you would judge that favourably.
There was an interesting example of this from my days as a young platoon commander in an infantry battalion in Townsville, where a young soldier pulled a guy out of a rolled over car, and just as it exploded into flames, and he was lauded as a hero. Turns out he was actually trying to steal the guy's wallet at the time of pulling him out the car. He couldn't get it while he was still in the car. So I guess to your point, was that a good act or a ultimately immoral act?
Well, let me look after your wallet and watch during the podcast and we'll see.
Next question.
Thanks, Robbo. And for those that haven't seen that episode with Tim Robertson, the chronic overachiever, he has a lot of philosophical views. Well worth a listen.
Aaron from Sydney has asked us about our expectations prior to SF and the realities of it getting in and seeing behind the curtain. So we're talking about special forces, a lot of mystique on the outside. What did you find when you peeled back the curtain, Tim?
The before and after picture. So I think to frame my answer really quickly, I was a very average army officer. I did not like the army, but I love the SAS, which probably draws the conclusion that life in special forces far exceeded my expectation. And I think definitely it's been related to by a number of our guests, but the one most profound thing is just the quality of the people, the caliber of the people. And in a future episode, we're going to compare an SAS team, an SAS patrol with a high performance team inside that construct. And I think fairly compelling listening. So, yes, far exceeded my expectations.
Good, good. For me, I reckon this comes back to the topic we spoke about with my brother Dan on the average 70-kilogram dickhead, and that is that there are so many of these things where if we're sitting on the outside, they seem superhuman. They, you know, becoming a doctor, joining special forces, making $1 million, starting a company, leading, you know, in Myanmar. But when you actually get into it, these are just average people, well motivated, well driven, obviously sometimes very smart and gifted in other ways, but they're not superhuman and these things are achievable. And so from my perspective, I did have a lot of that mystique about going into a unit like the SAS. And when you get in there, you realise these are good people, but they're not superhuman.
Mm. Just driven, motivated, smart, resilient. All of those qualities are really valuable.
A whole bunch of average 70-kilo dickheads who have put one foot in front of the other in achieving a pretty impressive goal.
Well, with average between 70 and 120 kilos, perhaps. another question. Your thoughts on, quote, gut feeling that we often hear about. Do you truly believe it can be relied upon? And if so, do you have any personal experiences?
I think yes, and I think there's a lot of literature that talks to this. There's a fantastic book called Sources of Power by a guy called Gary Klein who talks about those spidey senses type gut feelings that are born of deep, deep expertise in an area. So once you get so proficient at a certain vocation, then you start preempting things, you start picking up those weak signals almost subconsciously, and a lot of that forms your gut feeling. So without a doubt, I think those gut feelings are our subconscious trying to tell us to amplify some kind of weak signal. And when we get that little spidey sense, we should prick our ears up, turn our radars on to try and find out what's causing that.
Mm. Picking up on the subconscious, I completely agree. I'd reword gut feeling into, quote, intuition, unquote, and intuition's informed by experience. And so I think to coin a Tim Robbo, the more you fall in the hole, the more you know how to get out of it or how deep it is and what it feels like. So yes, I do believe in it, and I do believe in it in the corporate sense, that intuition, and we work with a lot of companies, and I'm a believer that you can stand in reception and really form a educated opinion on whether you would invest in the company, because I like to buy energy, and you can feel the energy of a company just in reception. You can read the body language of people, whether their chins are down or their chins are up, that whole interrelationship of team members. And business is about tempo, and tempo, the core for me for tempo is energy.
Fantastic. Well, again, awesome questions. Thank you very much for your contributions there, and keep them coming. debrief@unforgiving60.com is where you can fire any questions and certainly any feedback you've got, good, bad or indifferent.
And please feel also free to write us questions on our social media platform. We are on Instagram, we have a Facebook page, we're on Twitter and also YouTube. You can leave your questions there.
See you next time.